Well, it's said that patience is a virtue that many desire, but few possess. Though I have been told never to pray for patience, because then God is going to put you into situations where you're going to have to be patient. What is the typical prayer? Lord, grant me patience, and I want it now. Well, this morning's parable, I believe, echoes last week's in some ways, but this one has an eye on the future. As again we're admonished, let anyone with ears listen. We must open ourselves up to listen to the truths of the kingdom of God, which Jesus is attempting again and again and again to get us to understand. So are we listening? I mean, we often ask, you know, well, why does God allow evil? Or why did this bad thing happen? Or why was that tragedy allowed to occur? And often our answer to those questions is blaming God. Stating, believing that, you know, he should have done something. I mean, since he's God, he has the power and the ability to do that, right? And then we end up being like the slaves of the household from today's parable, asking to root out the weeds that have been planted alongside the good seeds. See, now the weeds that they're talking about actually are called darnel or tares, and would have looked identical to the wheat as they growed up until they matured. And only at the maturity would they be able to identify the difference. Though, as any gardener might tell you, by that time, those roots would have been so intertwined that to pull up one would have meant uprooting the other. So we need to understand that we and all the people that we interact with are either wheat or weeds. And it seems like we're being told that both of these will exist until the redemption of all things. As one commentator points out, he says, the kingdom is God's. We get to live and grow in it. And like it or not, we'll be surrounded by all kinds of others who may look like us, but were sown among us by powers intent on trying to disrupt God's kingdom and perhaps even destroy us. Put another way, weeds and wheat together is God's will for the kingdom at this time, for the common good of all. So be wheat. Live with and amidst the weeds, and trust God's angels and no one else to sort it out in God's own time. However, sadly, instead of trying to figure out how to be the best wheat we can be, what do we normally do? We don't like leaving judgment to God. We want to take it on ourselves, and we'd be like, okay, well, I want to figure out who the weeds are. Well, in the book, The Weight of Glory, which is a collection of essays and lectures by C.S. Lewis, he's quoted as saying, it is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be either a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now met, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long, we are, in some degree, helping each other to one or the other of these destinations. It is in light of these overwhelming possibilities, it is with the awe and the circumspection proper to them that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all play, all politics, for there are no ordinary people. Now, I'm not talking about kind of a fatalistic cop-out that, you know, we don't need to worry about evil because in the end, God will just sort it all out. Since, as statement Edmund Burke back in the 18th century rightly stated, as many of you might know this quote, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. But this is where we need to recall and remember that we're the seed. We're not the slaves. We're not the sower, nor are we even the reaper. Therefore, we need to be careful to try not to weed ourselves or others in a judgmental way. So what are we to learn from this parable? What is it you think that Jesus is really trying to get us to hear? I think first it's the problem of evil is beyond us to fully solve. But yet there is going to become a time of reaping and judgment, and we need to ask ourselves, at that point, are we going to be found to be wheat or weeds? Because that's our choice. Are we growing and seeking to grow into maturity as a child of God? Or are we growing up and living against all that God desires? I think also this parable shows us that discerning who's in and who's out is not in our purview. Because as I've been told, the position of God has already been taken. Just as Jesus hung out with those the religious right would have determined to be outside of God's salvation, so too we must greet and welcome all, since we are incapable of knowing beyond ourselves who's wheat and who's weed. So instead of trying to determine whether the person sitting next to you is a wheat or a weed, whether your co-worker is a wheat or a weed, whether that person who cuts you off in traffic is a wheat or a weed, we need to be seeking to be wheat. How are we living? And as we saw last week, we can only truly do that if we allow God to till the soil of our lives. Well, there's a humorous story where Jim meets his friend Alex at the car dealership where Alex works. And he says, "You know, Jim, I feel like a hypocrite every time I go to church because I fail to live for Christ so often." And Jim asks him, he says, "Okay, well, Alex, what do you call this part of the dealership?" As he points to the area past his cubicle. He says, "You mean the showroom?" He's like, "Yes." "And what's behind the showroom, kind of past the parts counter?" Well, Alex says, "Well, that's obviously the service department." So Jim says, "Well, let me ask you this. What if I told you that I didn't want to bring my car to the service department even though it was running rough?" Alex would say, "Well, that would be crazy. That's the whole point of a service department, right? To fix cars that aren't running right." Jim replied, "You're absolutely right. So now let's go back to our initial conversation. Instead of thinking of church as the showroom where image is everything, start thinking it of as God's service department, a place to help people get back in running order with God is what the church is supposed to be about. See, here is where we learn to grow as wheat and avoid the evil that we know and see everywhere. And I think that if we grow as wheat, we might actually be able to change some of those weeds into wheat. They say anything is possible with God. But see, we have to deal with evil in this life, and that's the hard part. Because there is no utopian world possible this side of heaven. And even Jesus tells his disciples, "In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world." And I believe this is where Paul is telling us from Romans comes into play. Because no matter what we're facing, no matter what struggle we deal with, we can trust in our future glory that will come through our relationship with Jesus. Unfortunately, we groan now like the rest of creation because we all know this life is not always easy, but there is always hope. And if we despair of hope of the future, then we honestly aren't trusting or believing in the truth of Jesus. If we despair because God allows evil to grow up right alongside us, then we're not really trusting or believing in all that Scripture reveals to us. And Paul, I think, hits it on the head in terms of what empowers us to live and continue to choose the good and not the evil. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For what? Who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Well, it's pointed out that the parable's ending affirms that there is one who is stronger and smarter than the weed-sowing enemy. God will sort out the good from the bad. Again, this sense of judgment might sound harsh to our tolerant, enlightened ears, but this harvest time judgment is the ultimate good news for that person that might be facing corruption in the workplace or those living in times and places of oppression. In a world where seeds of hatred and injustice are sown daily, the parable affirms unequivocally that God is still in charge. I pray we'll allow this truth to truly sink in, that we can hear what Scripture is telling us. And may we live as wheat, even when it seems like everyone around us is a weed. We need to be patiently waiting on an extremely patient God who allows His creation to suffer with evil. And He does this, I believe, in order to allow as many as possible that will come into redemption. Well, there's a saying that you can lose a battle and yet win the war. Well, it seems lately we seem to be losing more and more battles to evil and all that is counter to God. Our culture seems to be less righteous and more perverted each day. So we patiently wait, actively growing as we, even as we often happen to watch evil win battles. Yet we do so with the knowledge that our God has already won the war through Jesus Christ. Amen.